This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
In 97, yes, I won the Masters, and I was there too. I ended up hugging my dad and my mom. My dad's no longer here, but my mom's here. I love you, Mom. Thank you. And Sam and Charlie for all your love and support. I love you guys so much.
Hey, this is Kate Delaney. I'm broadcasting from Denver, Colorado. I haven't been back to Denver in probably 15 years or so. It's really a beautiful place, I have to say. And since I'm taking you, the listeners, with me, I am staring down at the city right now, and you can see all the mountains and the peaks in the background. And I went through Red Rocks, and I had a chance to spend some time, and I mentioned this before, in Larimer Square. So it was a whole lot of fun. And as you heard at the top, Tiger Woods gets the Medal of Freedom, and of course he won his fifth Masters just a few weeks ago, and that was pretty exciting. And when I talk about the show and what people are talking about, people are still talking about Tiger Woods, right? We might be talking about the border, and we might be talking about what's happening with the tariffs and the Chinese, and we might be talking about the weather, of course. That's always the thing that threads through all of our lives, and a slew of other things like the House panel getting ready for that contempt vote for the Attorney General. But there's no doubt Tiger Woods' combo and his resurrection is something that a lot of people are buzzing about, and he's made a lot of magazine covers, obviously. So good for him for, like I said, resurrecting himself. So let's dive into a couple of things. There's controversy over the Kentucky Derby, and we've got a couple of great Forbes segments coming up. Some cool people we're going to introduce you to. My pal Joe Calloway and Tasso Duval will join us, and then some humor with Casey McNeil. But before we get there, how about this? The House Judiciary Committee is going to vote Wednesday on whether to hold Attorney General Barr in contempt of Congress for refusing to provide Special Counsel Robert Mueller's entire report to the lawmakers. And this clash is something we knew was coming. The clash sets up a constitutional showdown between the executive and legislative branches, let's face it, over the information flow the Justice Department has to provide to Congress. I mean, what is it? And the fight is just one of the many kind of bizarre offshoots, facets, if you want to call it, of these investigations that House committees launched against the president and his administration. So Gerald Nadler, the judiciary chairman, the Democrat from New York, said Barr's failure to comply with a subpoena for the full report didn't leave him a choice but to initiate contempt proceedings. And he said the vote could be postponed if Barr engaged in some good faith negotiations about the report and its underlying evidence. What do you think is going to happen there? I'm going to say that's not going to happen. All right, we move to the sports world. Speaking of not going to happen, my second cousin Jason Service trained a horse called Maximum Security. It was bought for $16,000. This horse was the favorite in the Derby. If he had won, he would be the second Service boy and my second cousin to win the Kentucky Derby, because John won the Kentucky Derby with Smarty Jones years ago. Unfortunately, there was controversy, and a lot of people are criticizing Churchill Downs and the stewards for the finish of that race, a very muddy track. And this horse, you know, gave it its all and was coming down the stretch and had a huge lead. But the stewards said in the end there was a wide turn and there was some interference and disqualified the horse. So, and of course you have a crowded field. You have 20 horses and you had a couple of scratches before the race and that kind of stuff. And the West family, the owners of the horse, are obviously very, very disappointed in this result, because they give us and then they take it away. It wasn't officially announced they'd won the Derby. They came across the line, Maximum Security, I mean, and people cheered and hooped and hollered, and NBC interviewed my cousin and the jockey, and of course this, you know, was for the first time ever disqualified. A horse was disqualified. So Churchill Downs not responding to requests for comments, And in the morning on Monday anyway, as I tried to reach out, I'm sure lots and lots of reporters and talk shows and others did. But what a nightmare, what a mess. And I feel badly for Jason and the owners and the jockey. And, of course, $9 million was also wagered on this, and that went down the tubes as well. And it's a black eye, I think, on horse racing. You might agree about maximum security. You might not agree with me. You can always let my let me know, rather, by going to the mailbag at katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact, and it's just that easy. Very, very sad. I think, you know, ultimately the findings of that, and it was a muddy, muddy track. There's no question about it. So instead, a long shot is awarded the win. Bill Mott gets his first win as a trainer in all those years, and it just leaves a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth, including me. And Country House was that long shot, 65-1. All right, let's talk about the Chinese and the tariffs. And the U.S. is saying it's going to raise tariffs after China reneged on vows to do what they said they were going to follow through with. So the top negotiator, rather easy for me to say, of the Trump administration said, we're going to raise the tariffs. The tariffs are going to be raised from 10% to 25%. The talks are continuing. A Chinese delegation is visiting Washington on Thursday and Friday. U.S. Trade officials are trying to do something, but they feel like they have to get on track, and there's some unsolved issues, and we're seeing the results of that. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said at a briefing in Washington that we're not willing to renegotiate the U.S. previous commitments, and that 90% of the pact had been finalized, but this wasn't. So it just reignites the tensions and, you know, the feelings between, obviously, our country and China, and it will affect you if you look at goods and Chinese goods, etc. Trust me, there will be an impact to some of what you pick up. I mean, of course, depending on how you shop. You know, I said this in the other hour, lift up some of what you buy and see where it's made, and you might be surprised. You just might be surprised by what, you know, where your goods are from. You know, thinking that it's made in America, you know, that whole push to made in America, and now you see the significance, of course, for many reasons for that. And how about this? Always sad to hear about stores closing. I know the people at my CVS are so helpful and wonderful, and they love their jobs, but CVS is closing 46 stores in some of their locations, and this is familiar with brick and mortar. And, you know, the ones that are not doing well are shuttering their locations because they're underperforming. They're shifting more of their retail presence toward healthcare services. So it costs CVS about $135 million, they say, as a store rationalization charge. That's, they're seeing it in their first quarter earnings reports, and the cuts represent fewer than 1% of about the 9,600 CVS pharmacies. So it doesn't mean they're all closing. It just means that a bunch of them are. There's, you know, there's four stores in Chicago, two in San Francisco, two in Minneapolis. So you'll have to check, but your neighborhood store might be closing. Neighborhood, I say store because lots of people get stuff in there at the last minute, or drugs, etc., but your CVS might be closing. How's that? All right, hang through. Like I said, we got a couple of great conversations coming up with your nightly fix of Forbes and somebody who is tremendously funny. Hang through.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us. That nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we couldn't get enough of him, so Hall of Fame speaker Joe Calloway is with us again, and he's in the middle of his eighth book. He has seven books on business performance, and it's fascinating. We're talking about really kind of a shift in what we're seeing with companies and what's expected of a CEO and how you have to be certainly reactive, not proactive, because that's all we kept hearing before. And Joe, we were talking about that and what it's like. You almost have to have, in some cases, that startup mentality and take it off campus, so to speak. And have you seen that really work now with some companies?
Well, I tell you, we've only been in business for a year, and so we're still in the initial stages with the people we're working with. I'll tell you something that's interesting to me, and part of it is a function of where we are, which is we're out of Nashville, Tennessee, which is a major healthcare center. And healthcare is one of those businesses that is becoming acutely aware of the need to change. There are hospital CEOs that will have said on the public record, have said, our job used to be to keep the hospital full. Now our job is going to be to try and keep the hospital as empty as possible by taking healthcare services closer to the consumer and doing much, much more in terms of preventive healthcare. And that's a reversal to say we need to get paid for keeping people healthy instead of we will get paid when people get sick. I mean, that's a huge mindset shift within the entire industry. And what's encouraging, you know, we talked last time about how companies can be entrenched and CEOs can be entrenched in old ways of thinking. But in all fairness, what's encouraging are the number of CEOs and leaders that are saying, yeah, this is real. All this disruption stuff, this is not a fad. This is not a buzzword. What's happening is entire industries are starting to be changed significantly to the point that you could say they truly are being reinvented. Healthcare is one of them.
Yeah, wow, that is so. And just imagine, what is that going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? I mean, for people listening, this affects all of us. Your health, without your health, what do you have?
Yeah, it does. We're putting together a group right now that's going to be an ongoing innovation, kind of a think tank composed of representatives from big, I mean, great big giant healthcare companies and other non-healthcare companies, really, really big corporations, but they are huge consumers of healthcare because they may have 200,000 employees. And one of their biggest concerns and expenses is insurance and healthcare. And so we're going to put all these entities together along with then some really brilliant startup minds to say, well, okay, let's go to work. It's kind of like having a giant, you know, the old phrase, the skunk works, which is you take the band of pirates off campus and let them come up with stuff. Well, that's what we're going to be doing in a very process-driven, well, we are starting to do it in a very process-driven way. And it's pretty juicy. It's pretty exciting stuff.
No kidding. Fascinating. I mentioned the other day when we were speaking about, when we were talking about the book that I read, Becoming a Category of One, and that, I think in some ways, just to me, that kind of really made you stand out even more and really put you on the map, so to speak. Talk about doing a category of one and what that means.
Well, I had been out doing speaking and some consulting and, you know, a lot of workshop stuff with groups, especially leadership groups. And now I pretty much exclusively work just with leadership teams and leadership of companies. But the thing, it finally came to me. I thought, what I'm doing is working with companies on how to differentiate. Ultimately, it's how do we set ourselves apart from the competition? And somehow, and I have no idea what the thought process was, but I came up with this idea of becoming a category of one. And, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I did. that title, it was not only turned out to be a great book title, but I've spoken at conventions where they made the theme of the entire 10,000-person convention becoming a category of one. It's just one of those phrases that people go, yes, that's what we want to be. We want to set ourselves apart from the competition so completely that we're not only a leader in the category, they see us as being our own category. So that's where the idea came from.
Yeah, brilliant idea. So I mentioned that you are deep into business. We know that. You just talked about it. You've worked with companies like Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, Cadillac, American Express. And it's kind of like children. I don't think you always want to say, well, this is my favorite. I know you have two daughters. This is my favorite daughter because I love each daughter equally. They're all fabulous.
Exactly.
We know you love all your clients. And this is a hard question, but I'm so curious about this because you've had these great opportunities. Do you have a favorite memory, that favorite place where you spoke, something you did, whatever happened?
You know, I kind of do. This is an ongoing client some of your listeners will be familiar with, and they can certainly Google them and see who they are. It's a retail division of Genesco, which is an apparel manufacturer, and the company is Journeys, which has retail stores. They sell clothing. Their target market is mostly young people, teens and 20-somethings. And I work on an ongoing basis with their most senior leadership, but I also work on a regular basis with their newly promoted district managers and area managers. A district manager is a store manager that gets promoted to, now you're in charge not of one store, but 20 stores, and all the managers and all the employees. And they are young. And I walked in the room the first time, and I was faced with 20 or 22 young people wearing tattoos with hair color that none of those colors can be found in nature, with parts of their heads shaved. And I thought, oh, man, I may not be the best match for these people. Flynn, the smartest, hardest working, intuitively smart and respectful, and interested and curious. This company knows, and they always promote from within. This company journeys, they know how to grow leaders. And I'm so impressed with them. And every time I work with them, I come away thinking, wait a minute, they're going to pay me for doing that? I should pay them for the learning opportunity that I have in seeing these, and I can call them kids, these kids who are so impressive. But from the very top of their leadership all the way down to the store manager level, they really do a great, great job of developing and growing their leaders.
Wow, how interesting. And I can imagine what that moment was like. I love the way you described that. You thought, no way is this going to work. And how perfect is that? It's like the mentor and the mentee that they're teaching you.
Oh, it's so cool. And I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to be looking at me. Their eyes are going to roll out of their heads and say, who's this old guy that you've got talking to us? The exact opposite was true. They had so many questions, and I mean smart questions. Really, it's funny, not only by what they were saying in terms of their thoughts on leadership, but the quality of the questions they were asking about leadership. I thought, these people are just powerhouses, and I'm so incredibly impressed with them.
Yep. We have a minute and change left, but did you ever think, Joe, that you would end up doing what you're doing now and have these great opportunities and be in this space when you were growing up through the ranks?
I didn't know such a job existed. I didn't know. Are you kidding? I wanted to be Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis in the News. I wanted to be a rock star. And I would have, if I had had some talent, that's exactly what I would have done.
Wow. But you're a rock star in business, in the business world, certainly. And we are so happy you spent some time with us. Tell us when your book's going to come out.
You know, it will come out pretty quickly. This one's going to have a very quick turnaround. It'll be out by this fall. I'm guessing by September it'll be out, and it'll be available like every other product on the face of planet Earth on Amazon.
I love it. Joe Calloway, Hall of Fame speaker, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Congratulations again on your amazing comeback and your amazing life, and for giving sports fans everywhere a lifetime of memories.
At the White House, President Trump honors Tiger Woods.
President Trump tees up the Presidential Medal of Freedom for Tiger Woods.
And for giving sports fans everywhere a lifetime of memories. We can't wait to see what's next, Tiger. It's going to be good. We know that. It's going to be good because there are no winners like you. Now I'd like
like to ask the military aide to come forward and read the citation for Eldrick Tiger Woods Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I'm Tim Berg.
In other news, stocks down across the board. On Wall Street, the Dow off 66 points to close at 26,438. The NASDAQ down almost 41 points. And the S&P 500 down 13 points. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Timeshares, what do you think of when you hear that? For many people, all they hear is the constant reminder of how they were misled, lied to, and pressured into buying one of these financial nightmares. This is Steve Sanchez, and if you have a timeshare that you want out of, Wesley Financial Group, the leading timeshare cancellations company, can help you do just that, guaranteed. Founded by Chuck Medell, a pioneer in this industry who successfully went to federal court against the timeshare giant to help you get out of the prison sentence you're serving from the endless lifelong maintenance fees, Wesley Financial Group wants you to know that you're not alone in your battle, and their high ratings with the Better Business Bureau and endless testimonials from millions of dollars they have successfully eliminated from timeshare debt from people just like you makes them the obvious choice to cancel your timeshare. Did I mention their guarantee? Well, it's in writing, and they get the job done on time or you get 100% of your money back. Call now for their free information kit at 1-800-501-6100. 1-800-501-6100 or visit them at timesharecancellations.com.
Yeah, look around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room,
in the whole wide room.
And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you are definitely in the top three.
So we're talking about humor, and it's funny, when you say the word humor, it means different things to different people, I think. I think a day without humor, to me, is like a day without 10 cups of coffee. Casey McNeil joins us now. He is so funny. He is a radio and TV personality, a speaker. He's open for many legends, a comedian himself. Again, just has an incredible body of work. He's been in a ton of movies, so I know that you have seen this face. But we're speaking to him. This is audio, so you're going to have to go and look him up. And it's a handsome, funny guy. Casey, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to be here.
So, humor. This is such a broad question, but when someone says, hey, what's funny? And that's a tough question to answer. What do you say?
Well, essentially funny, I think, is when, I mean, there's different libraries in the school of what is funny. And basically anything that makes people laugh is funny. But there's a few common things that they've determined about it. One most particularly is when you have a line that's like a punchline, so to speak, that refutes assumptions that are made by the story that set it up. For example, something happened to me last night. In the middle of the night, this crazy woman starts pounding on the door of my hotel room. So, you know, I had to get up and let her out. And so you see, now this is an example of why when you have a punchline that refutes the assumptions made by the setup, whenever there's surprise involved, something funny happens.
Right. I love that. Well, that's like reverse engineering. And you know what? It takes a big brain to do that. It's tough. You got to sit and think about that for a couple of seconds. So it's not what's obvious head on. It's doing what I call reverse engineering. And what you say is, you know, turning around the assumption. And people have certainly made a great living on that, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, indeed. And that's the thing. Basically, when you can bring surprise into an element that actually works the left and right side of the brain together, they say, and it's sort of in the middle where you get the joke, so to speak. So your brain is functioning in its highest form when you laugh and get the joke.
So when you speak, let's just take speaking, for example. When you're out there speaking, you speak to different groups, and you're Mr. Funny, you get it. How do you know what's appropriate? How do you know what will most likely land at a, let's say you had a corporate gig?
Well, you know, this is sort of a published thing to do. They say feel out the audience, you know, which in and of itself can be very fun, although illegal in some states. when you understand what is going to be jokes that have a target that is sort of well-known subjects of commonality, but targets that aren't going to be harmed by what is said, which is why they always say making yourself the butt of the joke can be great, but when you're trying to be a subject matter expert on the stage, that can be tough. So when you want to take something in hand to make a joke about it, it's nice when you can take something that's not too hot of a topic. You know, like at corporate gigs, you know, they always want you to make jokes about the CEO. Not a good idea. You know, they will. They go, oh, he loves it. He loves it when you make fun of him. Yeah, maybe he does, but I'm not willing to bet my paycheck on. So
right.
You got to use things that are subjects that have commonality. People can identify with it. That's why we get that element, oh, it's funny because it's true. You know, if somebody can identify with something, that's great. Then when you can add that surprise element to it that makes it funny, also great. So I think that using subject lines that have to do with the topic that you are speaking on is a good idea. And they're not that hard to find. Everybody's got their own personal stories, and you can also look some up. And as long as you're quoting a source, you know, it doesn't matter. Funny is funny.
Yeah, funny is funny. I like that. Yeah, I think there's generational humor, though, too. Millennials, what they might find funny, and you might disagree with me, could be very different from an older crowd, a gray-haired crowd, that, let's say. Do you think so?
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, for example, the kind of jokes that'll play on a cruise ship for the blue hairs of the world, so to speak, to me, it's a lower-hanging bar. It's lower-hanging fruit. It's a much easier bell to ring, so to speak, than with the younger folks because they've been raised on Family Guy. So, you know, in a cartoon like that, you could tell every joke in the universe in 25 minutes, you know, and make it funnier than somebody standing there trying to deliver the joke to you singularly. So they like everything immediately. They like everything fast, and they want it to be funnier than the last thing that they heard. So they are tough.
That is tough. I'm just thinking right now, that's making me sweat as I sit here and think about Family Guy and what he's done with that animated character and that and the direction that that goes in. You're right. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's almost like how humor used to be, right? It was that 1, 2, 3, that kind of rhythm that if you went to comedy classes that they taught you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so while I've seen that and I've said, well, have they eliminated the need for individuals to stand in front of people and make them laugh? Gratefully, I have found the answer to be, I don't think so, because there are still plenty of people, Louis C.K., you know, lots of guys out there that still work in front of people and still make them laugh, and people will still pay to see them, and, you know, everybody wants something to be funny. You've got the what's in it for me when somebody gives a public speech. You got the what's in it for me thing. Then you have the WIBF, will it be funny, you know? It's sort of like a radio station that you're not necessarily looking for in the morning when you're passing through the radio stations on your car, but when you find it, you're really glad that you did, so you tune in. So humor, I don't think, hurts any presentation aside from, you know, announcement of layoffs and that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, but otherwise you can use it. Yeah, fair game. I think it kind of cuts through sometimes whatever it is. Like you're saying, it doesn't matter what it is you're talking about. If you're an expert on whatever subject, there's something about humor, and you mentioned it about the two sides of the brain, getting in that really the sweet spot is the middle spot and people getting it. And do you just know, for you especially, right, because you've done this for so long, what's that feeling like when you know you've landed it?
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world, and it's one of the reasons why I recommend strongly that anybody that speaks in front of audiences have humor ready, have a humorous story, a humorous anecdote, a joke that comes from a book even, or something like that, because when we all get the joke, people connect with you in a certain way that you know that we're all on the same page. You know you have them, I don't want to say you have them where you want them, but you have them where they want you. You have them right where they want you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you connect in such a profound way.
Yeah, boy, so true. So would you recommend that speakers, anybody listening, that they take improv or comedy or something to get themselves maybe a little looser or thinking a little differently?
I strongly recommend that somebody have coaching and mentoring mechanisms at their disposal. It's going to a class. It works well for you. Try it out. You don't know if it's going to work well or not work well until you do it. If you're scared, you know, that's good. Scared is good because you're going to be scared when you do anything humorous and when you stand up in front of people or any other thing. So embrace the scared and go for it, because telling a joke when you're scared is one of the greatest things in the world, especially when it works out.
Yeah.
So I say, yes, go to those classes. To the degree you can do classes, if you can have a mentor that you pay, a coach, somebody that helps you with it or listens to what you do, that's great. There are also great books out there that's not so much the, you know, how to write comedy and how to write humor, although those are also there. There are books on quotes for speakers, stories for speakers, humorous anecdotes for speakers. And you can find these sorts of things online. But if you go into a bookstore and actually look at the resource section, I like the way books are organized for these because they're topically related. Like, these are jokes about time management. These are jokes about office politics. These are humorous stories about communication. And these things exist so that you can actually access something to get on that plane with other people. You don't have to be a professional stand-up comedian. You don't have to feel like you're stealing other people's things. You're using tools to help entertain your audience to keep the presentation fresh.
Yeah. You've done TV, commercial work, of course, film. You know, you were in Dumb and Dumber, Independence Day, Stephen King's The Stand, Mobsters and Mormons, Spotlight. Of all of the, and this is a tough question, but let's say of all the movies that you've done, what was the best set that you were on?
The best that I was on was actually on a movie called Stronger that I did with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tatiana Baslani. I'm brutalizing her name. She's from the Orphan Black. She's probably her best thing to fame is Orphan Black. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays the true story about the man that lost his legs and the marathon bombing. No humor there. But on this particular set, I remember going on the set and I had to pretend to eat a meal for about 4 hours. In Panama, it was like I had to pretend to eat this meal. And we were put in the set in this restaurant place. And often they sit us someplace before they take us to the actual set. But we were in the set and didn't realize it. And then they brought the food out. And there was a gal sitting next to me, very nice, had like 12 cups of coffee empty around the bottom, talking very chatty and that sort of thing. And it turned out to be Tatiana. And, you know, we didn't know. You're not meant to talk to the big power stars. You know, unless they talk to you. But she was really nice. It was awesome. And aside from that, making made-for-TV German movies have been my favorites.
I like that. German.
Seriously, they film made-for-TV movies that are made for German TV. The set is meant to be New York. They film them here in Boston.
Wow.
They're my favorite sets to work.
Speak any German?
I don't speak German at all. They speak English. They speak German and a quasi German and English. If I have any lines, it gets post. The post production edits put my words in German. So I don't know. So there are American actors and German actors and actresses. So there's two or three famous German actors and actresses, and then the rest of us are all Americans around it. But they're very nice. The crew treats everybody on the set like they're the same, whether it's the big star or the guy who, you know, holds the mic.
Love it. Casey McNeil, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kate.
I am a disco. I am in the Taco Bell. I am a disco. I am in the gates of hell.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the...
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
And once again, we're back for that second part of the conversation with Tasso Duvall, co-founder and CEO of Toptal. Tasso, do you see, you know, talking about verticals, do you see other verticals that you'll jump into? Because you've got three now that you talked about. What do you see for the future? Something else that you'll gravitate toward?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. So you could bet on us and really expect us to have, let's say, certainly more than a dozen verticals in the next 1 to 2 years. And so that is the path that we're on. I'm not going to announce what verticals those are, but there's a lot of
Let us be great journalists and drag it out of you so that we get the scoop. Don't deny us here.
Well, let me just give you some color on the high-skilled labor industry. You know, there's software professions, legal professions, writing professions. There's all sorts of different professions that are out there. And there's different ways to service those industries. And so we're looking at different ways to service those industries at the very top of the spectrum in regards to caliber of talent. And that's what we're going to be venturing on. And so, you know, that's the future.
When you create these verticals and you see the success you have and the attention you get, do you pay attention to the competition? Do you look at those that are coming up behind you or around you, or you just focus on what you're doing?
We really focused on what we are doing. You know, if I had a car, I'd probably just the mirrors and the top seat, so you wouldn't have to see the competition in the background. But, you know, the saying holds true from Jeff Bezos. You know, we're customer-focused, not competition-focused. And that is not the norm, but that is just what we do as a byproduct of running a successful company. And I think what a fair amount of successful companies do. We really focus and focus on our customers and what they want and how to service them better and listen to the feedback. Just like any company, we have problems and we listen to our customers when those problems are experienced by them. So we craft solutions oftentimes in conjunction with them
the very individual's experience in those problems, which isn't always easy a lot of the times because they're angry that something happened or they're not satisfied with your service and they don't want to work with you anymore. But we do our best to ensure that those customers are the ones that are heard and that we craft products and solutions around them. And that's really what we focus on. What we've noticed is that no one in the market has been able to come remotely close to the caliber of talent that we can get and the pace at which we can get it. And so with that, we've simply focused on how do we do this better and what areas are we missing to make it an even better service.
We're talking with Tasso Duvall. He's the co-founder and CEO of TopTal, and I'm looking at your website. By the way, your website is toptal.com, T-O-P-T-A-L.com, and everywhere you look on this website, it says things like TopTal is an exclusive. Man, that is true. If you look down below, you see they're doing work for JP Morgan, Airbnb, HP, Zendesk, Emirates Airlines, Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company. TopTal is an exclusive network of the top freelance software developers, designers, and finance experts in the world. Top companies rely on TopTal freelancers for their most important projects. So, Tasso, I'm going to ask you a really hard question. I hope you'll answer it.
Sure.
Your background shows you've been in the right place at the right time a lot of times, and clearly your success with TopTal shows you called this one right. Can you tell us, not to pick on you, but for us to learn from, can you tell us about a time when you were really wrong so we can learn from the same lessons you got?
Oh, geez, that is always a hard question. Really wrong.
And you can change the name of the company or change the industry, or it could even be from a previous company. But I'd love to hear about a time where you tried something or you made a call on something and it just blew up, because we can learn from that.
Well, let me give you a learning. And there's hints and sentiment of failure sort of sprinkled throughout this story, but I'll let you take it for what it's worth. So back in 2009 or so, I went to start a company with my co-founder at the time, and we were working fervently to raise money and make the idea happen, get it out the door. We had a really exceptional idea, so I believed, that was going to change how people communicated, and it was just excellent, and I still believe till this day it is. The problem is that in 2009, there was a macroeconomic disaster, a financial disaster that really I was unaware of as to how bad it was. I wasn't unaware that it was affecting the world. I just didn't know it would affect my world. I actually didn't think it was going to affect my world at all, right? I had no idea on the implications of the macroeconomic world in Silicon Valley or within my world. And so to me, all I saw was headlines. I saw CNN News, and I saw what was on the TV and within the newspapers, et cetera. And I said, well, you know, those finance guys in New York or whatever, that's them. Let them deal with that. I'm going to go raise money for my company. This is going to be much easier. And it wasn't. And it was insanely difficult. Actually, it was so difficult that we failed completely. And that was actually what brought me to TopTal. But taking a step back, the learnings, when you talked about mentorship, when you talk about what insights did you gain, this is probably one of the biggest insights that I've gained starting a company. I learned that, wow, you do have to be in the right place at the right time, even on a macro level, to be able to succeed. And that, it's kind of hard for people to understand unless they've experienced such strong friction or failure, because now you could go out and raise a seed round and everyone's in this frothy environment, great. But the idea of raising money in 2009 or 2008, it was just unheard of unless you were mega connected or had a mega successful company. And so that was being at the right time in my mind, but in reality, I wasn't. And I was wrong about that, and we failed, and that is a really big learning for me as to how to run a business, how to run a company financially, and how to make smart decisions based on what's going on in the market.
Wow, I think that's a great lesson people can all take away from this this interview. I wrote that down in giant letters, and I have a bulletin board in front of me, and I just smacked it right up there. I'm not kidding you, Tasso. So you taught me something today, because I've been there. So when you're out speaking, and you've spoken at Harvard Business School, Wharton, Oxford, you know, a lot of the Ivy League schools, what's the number one question you get asked?
Oh, geez, the number one question. You know, it's probably something along the lines of how do I become successful? And so that's a hard one to answer. I always say it goes back to hard work, diligence, being focused, and not looking for an idea, but focusing on your skill sets and yourself and making progress within your own life, and an idea will actualize as a byproduct of that. So you don't want to go out and study the market. You want to study the fundamentals of the market itself, or the fundamentals of finance, or the fundamentals of computer science, and that will allow you to succeed. I didn't start TopTal by looking for an idea and sort of grasping for straws, which is what a lot of people do, so I've noticed. And the way that I started it was I noticed something was completely off within the market because of what I knew, because of a much more fundamental skill set, which was my ability to judge software developers, judge code, and understand what was right and wrong in that realm. So by virtue of my expertise, I was able to create a successful company, well, because of that, not because of the fact that I was looking for a business opportunity or a business idea.
All right, so this is our last question, Tasso, and since we're doing this for radio on a feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, in 30 seconds or less, answer this question: what keeps you up at night?
Innovation. Innovation keeps me up at night. And, you know, people ask, who's your competitors? Are they the Accentures, the Deloittes, the Randstads, or the Adeccos of the world? Absolutely not. It's somebody who's creating something that I'm not aware of that is going to disrupt the industry, or it's a technology company that is going to focus on the innovations, whether it's in AI, whether it's in other areas that are very advanced, that will make maybe the entire services industry obsolete. And so those types of innovations are happening. You want to be the company that is on the forefront within that space, within the services space, within our space. And we're working every day to make that a reality. We know other companies are too. Those aren't technology companies. So that's what keeps me up at night.
Wow, great answer. Tasso Duval, co-founder and CEO of TopTal. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Paul, otherwise known to the listeners as Mr. Kate Delaney. The missus has come up with an amazing solution to what plagues most of us, that nagging feeling you're meant to do something more. After more than a decade of her best interviews with world-class mentors and her own groundbreaking life experiences, Deal Your Own Destiny is finally here, presented to you by Forbes Books. Reading Kate's book is like sitting down with a trusted friend who has a lifetime of wisdom to share. Some of what you'll discover in this book includes learning how to play to your strengths, finding people who lift you up, and how to make the right moves to become extraordinary. No matter where you are on your journey, this book will give you inspiration and the tools you need to get to where you want to be, whatever that means to you. No one gets to decide the hand they're dealt in life, so become the dealer. Get Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon.com or at booksellers near you.